A little bit about me. I did full-time youth ministry for 10 years, and I was a rock star. Literally, I played guitar to thousands and thousands of teens, and
Wow.
we'd go on trips, and they thought I was the coolest person ever. So I thought I'd have no problem with my own daughter. And I was had been a marriage and family therapist speaking at, all sorts of big conferences about teenage girls when my daughter turned 12. And none of my academic training helped. We'll just say that. I just remember one day just having it. Like, it was like she had left everything to the last second. And so I ran out to get all like, poster boards and things for a project. And I said, okay, start your homework and, clean the dishes or whatever. And I came back and she literally was laying on the sofa watching SpongeBob. And I'd ask her, "What did you start your homework?" "Sure." "Did you clean your room?" "Yeah." Like, whatever. So of course she did nothing. And it was just one of those days. Now I'll say that I had been really, really busy and stressed, that I had this fantasy that I'm going to tell her every which way, everything that she's ever done wrong, and she'll never do it again. And so my little therapist angel was like, this won't work. And I said, I didn't care because I felt it, felt the fire of the earth, and I just fire. And my daughter, who was already taller than me at 12 years old. I'm 5'6". She was 5'9".
Oh, wow. Okay.
So she was stunned. And so I thought, good, we have settled this. But then a second later, she rose up and she gave it right back to me. And at that moment, I thought, oh my God, I'm becoming the enemy.
Welcome to Parenting Teens Today with Jesse LeBeau.
Well, I am so excited to talk with you today. And for all of our listeners right now, Colleen is doing a lot. She is a licensed psychologist. She works with moms and does Zoom calls with parents all over the world. She has best-selling books, more than one, and she's been on just about all of the cool publications that I would love to be on someday, Huffington Post and all those fun ones. So I am excited for all of those reasons, but especially since kind of your sweet spot is dialing in the drama. And I
Well, we
feel,
want to dial down the drama. We don't want to dial into it.
dial in. How do we get more drama? We want the Kardashian show and Jersey Shore at our house every day, dialing down the drama. That is so funny. So, how did you kind of get in this sweet spot of dialing down the drama? And then let's go into that. Because this is something people are dealing with every day, and I know a lot of people want to learn more about.
Oh, yeah. Well, a little bit about me. I did full-time youth ministry for 10 years, and I was a rock star. Literally, I played guitar to thousands and thousands of teens,
Wow.
and we'd go on trips, and they thought I was the coolest person ever. So I thought I'd have no problem with my own daughter. And I was had been a marriage and family therapist speaking at, all sorts of big conferences about teenage girls when my daughter turned 12. And none of my academic training helped. We'll just say that. I just remember one day just having it. Like, it was like she had left everything to the last second. And so I ran out to get all like, poster boards and things for a project. And I said, okay, start your homework and, clean the dishes or whatever. And I came back and she literally was laying on the sofa watching SpongeBob. And I'd ask her, "What did you start your homework?" "Sure." "Did you clean your room?" "Yeah." Like, whatever. So of course she did nothing. And it was just one of those days. Now I'll say that I had been really, really busy and stressed, that I had this fantasy that I'm going to tell her every which way, everything that she's ever done wrong, and she'll never do it again. And so my little therapist angel was like, this won't work. And I said, I didn't care because I felt it, felt the fire of the earth. And I just fire. And my daughter, who is already taller than me at 12 years old, I'm 5'6". She was 5'9".
Oh, wow. Okay.
So she was stunned. And so I thought, good, we have settled this. But then a second later, she rose up and she gave it right back to me. And at that moment, I thought, oh my God, I'm becoming the enemy. And teens love me. So what's my problem? Like what's not transferring? And so that just sent me on this quest of like, why is it so easy to lose it? Now, which got me into lots of kind of deep thinking and soul searching. And what I really realized is that I did not understand the power of our nervous system. And I didn't understand the science. And so when we understand that, like, I'm so compassionate to moms because like, I get it. I was that person. It's so easy to lose it. And that's not, and when we had a baby, we didn't say, oh, I just can't wait for teenage years when I yell and yell and scream at you and lose it. Yeah. Like that was not the dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that I wrote this book, my first book, Dial Down the Drama, Reducing Conflict and Reconnecting, you know, with your teen. I wrote that book because like I knew all this stuff and I was considered a teenage expert, but I could lose it. And so I wanted to kind of take moms along with me on the ride so that we can dial down the drama, because drama is the enemy of everything. It's the enemy of success. It's the enemy of joy. And so how can we dial that down so we can have good relationships with our teens? Because we, as moms, we really want our teens to be successful, but drama can actually kind of hurt it gets in the way of success.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we end up giving messages to our kids that aren't great when we're really upset.
100%. Doesn't she know you're a rock star and kids love you? Isn't that so funny how it doesn't translate with your own kids? I hear that all the time from celebrities and pro athletes where everyone else is in awe of Kevin Hart, but you know who's not is Kevin Hart's kids. They're like, come on, dad, you're embarrassing me, or in anybody. It's so funny.
Yes.
Why do you think that is? Why? And you mentioned the nervous system. Why do you think that a lot of times kids don't want to hear it from mom and dad?
Well, okay. So this is not on the teens at all. This is really on us.
Okay.
I mean, teens forever, since the beginning of time, are individuating, becoming their own person. Who likes to be controlled? Who likes to be monitored? No one. It's like us. We have to understand, like, we are the parenting tool. It's not what we do. It's our whole self, body, mind, soul, and spirit is the tool. So if we take good care of ourselves. So in my book, I had to back up. And I backed up in terms of some of the messages that we get as moms that are so not helpful. And I call those powerless parenting messages. Mm. And one of those is, it's selfish to pay attention to myself. And so we think it's selfish. So we don't take good care of ourselves. So we're tired, we're exhausted. And then it just takes one sassy comment and we lose it because we're stressed, which is what happened to me in my story that I told.
Yeah.
So, and when we understand the science, when we understand the psychology, which is kind of what I did in my book, really trying to translate that so we can get it. Then here's the big deal, is that we don't take it personally. If moms don't take it personally, they can do their thing and we don't We don't blow up because we don't take things personally. We actually expect it.
Yeah. Ooh, easier said than done.
I know. I
Ooh.
know. I know. Yes. So, how it's done is that. So first of all, it feels like, and I lived all of this, you know, I mean, I was like an observer of my own body. So it feels like when your teen is just like, whatever, bleh, you know, it feels like that we have to deal with it right now and shut it down.
Yeah.
But truly, there's two things that can really help us not lose it. Which is our clear, well, first of all, taking care of ourselves and making sure we're rested.
Okay.
And actually, what makes you a really good mom is getting two or three things in your schedule that's not about anything about mothering. It's like getting together with friends, going to movie, listening to music, you know, getting outside.
Some
That's actually
self-care.
what, yes.
Yeah.
So that's what helps. And then, our clarity helps. So, when a lot of times, and I've seen this in my practice a ton, like I'll have a mom with a teen right next to them. I don't know if I should let their boyfriend go in their room or not. I just don't know. Well, the teen knows what they want.
Yeah.
And so they're like, yeah, you can let him come in the room. Like, why not, mom? So, Mom has to get clear 100%. If she's not clear, then that opens the door to drama. And, you know, because then the teens will do all their little tactics because you're not clear. They'll say, like, every other parent lets us do this. Like, you're so mean, slamming doors. Hey, can I clean the dishes? Can I do all these things for you? So they do all these little tactics to get their way. But if you're 100% clear, you don't have to get upset. You can smile, you can be in a great mood and just say, "You know what? I'm 100% clear that's not going to work.
Yeah.
I love you." You don't have to get upset about
Yeah. Don't take it
it.
personal. Man, that's a good one and tough and tough to do because we're humans. And like you said, we have, oh, I had a tough day. I didn't get a good night's sleep. We talk about the red zone on here a lot where you're in that
Yes.
psychological red zone of 7 or 10, 7 or higher out of 10. And when like you had that moment with your daughter of like, okay, like I asked you this, I'm already a little bit on edge, and then it escalates and builds into that drama. So having clarity in the first one was self-care. So
Yes.
finding some self-care. All right, what can I do so I'm in a better state? I'm in a better place. And then having absolute clarity so there isn't room for interpretation. And finessing the rules and the boundaries of what's going to be acceptable in the house. Does it sound like I
Yes.
got it right?
Yes. And so
Okay.
I'm going to build on something. So it's not personal is not going to work if that's all it is. Because you're going, well, whatever, Colleen. I mean, she's calling me these curse words, you know, or he's calling me that. So it is personal.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is understanding the science. What I say in my book, one of my chapters is it's not personal. Teens are hardwired for drama.
Sure seems that way.
Well, they truly are. And so what's great is you can just learn a tiny bit of science that will really kind of go, oh, okay. Because a lot of the things that drive us crazy as parents about teens is really that undeveloped prefrontal cortex. And a lot of parents have heard that it's not fully developed till 25, but we don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But what it means is they don't think about cause and effect. You know, they're driven by the reward system. So it's like sex, partying, you know, and that part of the brain is alive and well, is 500 times faster than the rational brain, the higher brain, the cortex, which is where the prefrontal cortex is. So that part of the brain is a little bit slower. And then this rewards brain is like, yeah, go for it. Another thing about the prefrontal cortex is it helps regulate emotion. So again, that part's not fully developed. It's like a loose wire. Another part is that you just don't have perspective. Like you don't have any perspective. And everything feels like all or nothing, which if moms, you've heard your teens say, and coaches hear the same thing, is like, you know, everyone hates me on the team, or, you know, nobody, the teachers are all mean.
Yeah.
You know, all these, have you heard comments like that?
Oh yeah. Big time.
So these functions of the prefrontal cortex, you know, when it's mature, it produces this wonderful kind of more centered being, though obviously parents, we can lose it too. But the teens live in the lower brain, which is the limbic system, which is the emotional part of the brain. That's fully developed. So in other words, here's a metaphor. If you imagine the lower brain is like an accelerator on the car, and the cortex, the higher brain, is like the brakes.
Oh, geez. This is not good. I see where this is going.
So the teens have a fully working accelerator and faulty brakes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not good. I'm not a real car guy, but I know that that's not good.
It's why these things drive you crazy. It's like, you know, what were you thinking? Well, they're not thinking, you know, a lot of times they're feeling things and acting impulsively out of these feelings. So that's what I mean. So a lot of times when teens are really, really upset, then and emotionally flooded, and they are in that limbic system, and then they just say things that, you know, here's the thing, they don't actually really mean it. Like comments like, I hate you.
Yeah.
You're the worst parent ever. When they calm down, they don't say those things. It's when they're really upset.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
So just knowing that is so helpful. And then so a parent would say, well, then what do I do?
Yeah. Yeah. So if I'm not going to take it personal, I just stand there and look at them. I walk away. I go do the dishes. What do I do?
Right. Right. So what I tell parents, and this is another big tip, timing is everything. It's everything. So let's just say, so mom, your kid just stumbled in at 1:30 at night and they're supposed to be in at midnight. And you're so angry and so, you've been, every scenario in your head, you see them dead on the highway, you're so panicked. And that teen walks in and they're like laughing and ha ha ha. Yeah. And they've been drinking. That is not the time to have a conversation. Because and how do I know this? Well, I've been a therapist for 30 years. So I've heard it over and over and over. I've never heard it work. I mean, they're drunk or they're high. It's not going to work. And you're upset. So what you do in those situations is you just want to contain it. So you just go, okay, you just need to go to your room. And then it gives you time to kind of calm down and get to clarity. Like, what do you truly want to do about this? And so, you know, people have heard pause or, you know, those sorts of things. Sometimes it's a bigger break than a pause. That sounds like a second.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes if, here's the good news, you don't have to deal with it at that moment. You can just say, you know, me and your dad are going to really talk about this. And when we it might be a few days, but there's going to be a consequence. But till then, blah 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 blah. And you can take your time. In fact, I always recommend that parents take their time, if they're going to do a consequence or they want to find a way of talking to the teens, because it's going to be way more constructive. When you calm down and you go, is this something that we really need a consequence for? Is this something that we need to have a learning conversation about? Kind of have they already kind of gotten their consequence by just like natural consequences? So that just takes some time. And when you model that for your teen, then that helps your teen be able to model that for other people, that they
Oh,
just don't blurt it out.
that's great. I like that so much because so many of the bad decisions, the things that come out of our mouth, or the food or substance that we put in our mouth, happens during that elevated time of stress or anxiety or emotions. And to give it that pause, that time, whether it's like, all right, like you said, let's talk about this tomorrow, or me and your dad are going to have a conversation and we're going to be talking about it this week, because that's when it escalates. And I think the drama, since we're dialing down the drama, that does the exact opposite of when they're in whatever state they're in and you're fired up and upset and you've been worried about them. It's just a recipe for disaster. And I think we've all been there and seen nothing good comes out of trying to resolve it right in that moment.
Right.
Which is a hard one for me because I don't like to go to bed upset. I want to solve it. So that's a good reminder and a good lesson for me as well.
Yeah. So just in terms of the science, you're going to be a lot more spot on in terms of a great consequence when you're more relaxed and you have more perspective. So I remember, I took my daughter out to see a movie in the middle of the week. I had to drive 45 minutes to the movie. So I made a big effort. And she just got snarky. I think she's like, eighth grader. So she got snarky on the way home and was being sassy to me. Every part of me, again, remember the woman who lost it, wanted to go at her because, this is a privilege. Oh my God, I'm never doing anything like this for you again. Like all those kind of comments, which are useless. But what I did is she's being sassy, and my little happy place was, okay, what could be some of her consequences? So I just started thinking, how could I handle this? And that kind of made me happy just to just think about what I would do instead of like losing it.
Yeah. So you're in your own place in your mind
Yes.
about this while keeping a smile on your face and heading to the movies.
Yeah. Well, this is on the other end, going leaving the movies where
Oh,
she was
got it.
just she I like, this is a great movie. This could have been a great night, and you're just blowing it here.
Yeah.
But so I want to make a distinction again, but not again, for the first time. I'm going to make a distinction between punishment and discipline. So when we are, as parents, we're emotionally flooded, we're stressed, we're so angry, we're so distraught, like you're just feeling these feelings huge. A lot of times we go into punishment, which has really no thought to it. It's just, inflict pain. And that could, and then a lot of times what flies out of our mouth, we can't back it up. Like, you can't drive for a year. You're grounded forever. Those sorts of things. And there's a little bit of really kind of a mean spirit, like, I suffered, you'll suffer in that. So here's the point. So discipline. And you're into sports. I mean, discipline isn't to punish. Discipline is to teach, to train. It's instructive. So part of what I tell my moms is when something happens, like the kid who stumbles in drunk at 2 in the morning or whatever, part of it is you need to kind of ask yourself a couple of questions, which is, what does my teen need to learn to be a healthy adult? And what structure does he or she need to be safe? So that's very different from punishment because we want every teen, because they're hardwired for drama, are going to make mistakes. And just like, I've heard you talk, it's like mistakes are awesome because they can be the source of the greatest learning. But you're not going to get to that if you're kind of if you're judgmental, shaming, and kind of have a punishing edge to it.
So less reactionary and more intentional, and take a little
For
bit of
sure.
time and see what can we actually do to make this be something that, one, doesn't happen again or as infrequent as possible, and two, also be a lesson that could be turned, okay, this is why Mom is doing this because she loves me and she's worried about my safety, and I'm doing something that's putting myself or others in a precarious situation or some sort of danger.
And so here's another difference is like when between being kind of this reactive punishing thing and the intentional, you need to learn these things and you need this boundary is you don't have to hurt the relationship. Because if you're punishing, my mom when I was in high school kind of did the withholding thing and kind of the, I knew she was mad. Everybody probably, in the state of Texas knew she was mad, and it was she withheld, ignored me, and that didn't teach me anything. That wasn't instructive. Yelling, shaming. Saying you're going to end up being the biggest loser ever. Is that what you want? You want to just like not ever get into college? You ever want to not ever blah, blah. I mean, all that kind of stuff, not helpful. Actually hurts the relationship, hurts your team. So what's great is when you need your time to kind of calm down, talk to your friends, sort through it, and your own hurt about what your teen did. You have to work through that as deep, some deep work for parents. But a lot of times, if you do it right, you can be even closer to your teen if, like, let's say they're not driving for a week. And it can really strengthen your relationship. And you don't have to be in a bad mood. You don't have to carry that energy. You can still be kind of jovial and lighthearted. And as people have said, let the consequences do the talking. You don't have to.
What's your attitude going to be? I it's funny because that's such a central theme of my life, and I'm even looking at my phone right now, and it's got attitude is everything. It's on the back of
It
the
is.
computer. It's on the side of the bus I'm in right now. So when I hear that message and those themes a lot of times in places like, oh, what's your attitude as a parent going to be? It's a difficult time. Would you agree that being a parent today is more difficult than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago? Or do you think it's the same, just different?
No, I think it's harder today than ever before.
Me too. Yeah. So,
And I,
oh, go ahead.
okay, go ahead. And I think the main reason, well, there's so many reasons, but I think two main reasons is for sure everything digital, all the screens. That's just a whole new universe that no one knows what we're really into yet. So that's a huge thing to navigate. That's a huge struggle in homes every single day, or could be. And then I think we're also in a, the culture today is kind of a culture of perfectionism and pressure. That I think parents, we feel that, kids feel that. Like there's a scarcity model, like there's not enough colleges, you won't get in. And you know, it's a lot of lot of pressure.
I agree with you 100%. There's just so many other things you have to know about as a parent. So in your opinion, how important is it for parents to get some type of outside help from someone like yourself who can coach them, whether it's on a mom to mom, one-on-one, or a mentor or a program to help their kids that's that outside influence who isn't the person who they're going to stand up on the couch and tower over at 12 years old, but has a little bit different background and perspective?
Well, let's just say, I think everyone can benefit from coaching, therapy, and groups. Here's the thing I think for moms is that it's really lonely and you're really isolated. And so, like, young moms can share all the business of a 2-year-old. My 2-year-old's so cranky, you know, she never sleeps, blah, blah, blah. But we can't share the business of our teens. So we're, and a lot of moms have shame about how much they fight with their kids and that they can't communicate. So my thought is, it's like, if your life could be easier, why not have some help of someone who's gone through it? You know, I love leading groups with moms because then moms can be like, this is my truth. And everybody like, oh gosh, me too. And it's so freeing to know you're not the only one. And a lot of the things that we fall into, like again, with my story, it's so the lower brain is like kind of our, it's like the subconscious. So we're not really aware of it, and it sabotages us a lot. So someone can help you kind of become more aware of things that you're not even really aware of, you know? And then once you can see that, then, you know, what I like to do is help moms align with what they truly want, their true values, you know, and get their lives back. Because a lot of, like, moms will tell me, and this is another powerless parenting message, is it's my job to worry 24/7. Well, that is a horrible job.
Yeah, I don't want that job.
Yeah. So, you know, so there's lots of techniques and tools that can help you not fall into the trap of a lot of this reactivity that is so, we're just prone to reactivity because of our culture, because of the pressure, because there's no downtime, and because of screens. So, yeah, I think talking to anyone, I think like your podcast, people who listen to your podcast or listen to my podcast, or, you know, there's a lot of ways, just listening to this message that you go, oh, I feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I see that too. A lot of moms really put the weight of the world on their shoulders. And if their kid's having a hard time, they feel like it's their fault. And like you said, lonely, like they're the only ones who are failing. And it's not fair to them. And there is support for them in the idea of a community that they can be a part of with other like-minded people. And then finding people that specialize in, like, all right, here's someone that can help me with some tools and some techniques. Here's someone who can talk to my kid. I see those same things as well. And I appreciate you sharing that message because it does feel like there's a loneliness epidemic. That's what I've been saying a lot lately, is loneliness epidemic for kids and for parents. And you know, Colleen, one thing that I've been seeing a lot of is there'll be parents who are wanting kids really just to tap into their potential and fulfill that, and they feel like they're underachieving and they're settling for average. And whether it's in school or in the kids, like, yeah, I don't need school to be good in life, and I'm not worried about having, a good group of friends. I could just stay and be on my screen and eat junk food and just go through life like this. This is working out for me. I'm fine. How do you advise parents who find their kid is not fulfilling their potential, who's settling for average, and they lack motivation to want it for themselves? That's something that's frustrating because as a parent, you can want it so bad for your kid. But I believe that if someone doesn't want it for themselves, you can't get them to change. You can't force them. You may get them to do some things, but if it's not really what they want, then it's not going to last. And anything, it's probably going to make them resent you for making them do this thing. So what do you say about kids that lack motivation?
That's a great question. $1 million question. I think I would say is you want to dig deeper. Because a lot of times we think you're just procrastinating, you're just lazy, you're just this, you're just that. And we just need to dig deeper, especially post-COVID. I was just having a conversation with another guest I'm having on my podcast around screen time and stuff. And we were talking. I think that like kids who are more introverted, like kind of from 50% down to introverted, have really taken a toll because it's so much easier. The everything social media is comfortable. And I know you talked about that. Like it's comfortable. So there's not, and then having the skills to meet people and all of that is uncomfortable. And so, kind of digging deeper is finding like what's blocking them from stepping out. Kind of what are you scared about? What kind of stresses you out about? What are you afraid of? And finding what would be their reason to push through the discomfort? What could they get that they actually want? So it may not be, I want to be the best baseball player ever, but it might be, I'd like to hang out with some guys. And so you have to find out what's their thing, or my three best friends are on the team. Or, for some girls, it's like, well, then I wouldn't have to exercise. I mean, that would be easy. If I did track, then I would, I could eat more food, something.
I like that.
But it's finding kind of, it's just kind of digging deeper to kind of what's blocking them and what could they get out of it, which may not be your reason.
Is it finding that group of friends? And I think back to that loneliness epidemic.
Yes.
That's what it is for so many people, is they want that human connection. They want that ability to be able to have a group chat that they have inside jokes and they laugh about things and there's a sense of belonging. So I love that. So find out what's the discomfort that's holding them back, and then explore, like, well, what would it feel like to break through on the other side and get what you want or what you desire? So find that thing they could potentially be excited about. Maybe it's a bigger purpose or a why of something, and then help facilitate, like, making that happen so they can actually take action.
Yeah, and I want to add two more words to dig deeper is and listen.
Oh, yes.
You want to be listening to the team because you have to listen to find out what these obstacles are and what they truly want instead of just telling them.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Listening, apparently a pretty important skill. What's the guy said? Well, you got one mouth and two ears, so that should be a signal to you that it's twice as important to listen.
Yes.
So right now, I think in real time, the social media people are all in front of Congress. I'm getting texts about it. people are, they're laying into them, they're chewing out Zuckerberg and all these different people. Throughout this conversation, I've just been dying to get to this because it's something that I'm seeing so much and I'm super passionate about, and you've been bringing it up. So this is very cool for me. What advice would you offer to parents when it comes to helping their kids guide their relationship with their phone?
Yeah. I know that's such a big question. I would say, first of all, is that your kid is not a bad kid. And they are, which is why everybody's in front of Congress, is they're being manipulated by social media that's addictive.
Yeah.
And more and more of their social life is online. And so what happens, I think, a lot of times with moms, you know, is we want to be good parents and we want to limit the time, limit the time. That's all we're getting. Limit the time. And so we're in this power struggle instead of really having a conversation. So we see the tip of the iceberg, which we see my an angry teen who doesn't want to give us their phone. But we don't know all the social interactions that are happening online, all the pressure to for if you're someone's best friend, you better like their post or you're not going to be their best friend. Finding out that you were not invited to the party or whatever, being left out. There's all so many different things that it's not just that they're online, it's yanking all of their emotions. And so it can feel like a death of a friendship to get offline really quick. And so if parents can have more of a conversation around that, then it's easier to kind of work together. And part of it is too is like gently finding ways of like, what are some other things that you want to do in your life that are not social media? So you wouldn't say the social, anytime that you can like just, you know, bolster up like sports or activities or getting in person with friends, and you get that that's what they want, then you say, okay, well, let's see if your values can get in sync with what you say you want. And which is way more powerful. And I think I've had a lot of experts on my podcast, and I've learned from them. And one thing is letting them know teens hate to be manipulated. And if they know that they're being manipulated, then they can get mad about that. That's who you want them to get mad at, not you.
I love it. So flipping it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so true because they don't stand a chance. That's why they're in front of Congress, like you said right now. The dopamine hit, the hijacking, the limbic system that you touched on earlier. And it's only going to get worse with AI and all these things. It's only going to get better at capturing your attention and intensifying the things that make you emotional. When I saw in the Social Dilemma documentary on Netflix, and it showed the algorithm, you know, the almighty powerful algorithm as two people in in a room who are like, hey, Jesse hasn't been on Facebook or Instagram in 5 days. What can we do to get him back? And they go, well, let's show him pictures of his ex-girlfriend with her new group of girlfriends or her new boyfriend. And that will get a reaction out of him, and that will get him going and looking and going through more pictures and all these things. And when I saw it from the perspective that the algorithm was a person, I was like, well, that's an evil, horrible person.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I'm being manipulated. That's what's going on with people in politics, And things that are controversial that people are all upset about is it's just seeing what you interact with and then giving you more of that. And the things that you usually, unless you're a more mature adult, and even then you're gonna still probably really struggle with it. That's half or more of the population, I think, right now, is like, oh yeah, like I'm just the only way for me to win is to not engage. And I don't need data. I don't need an expert. I'll tell you just from my personal experience, getting off of there and unfollowing everyone was the best decision. I love it when someone will be, and I'm not really in these situations anymore, but like, hey, follow me or that. And I just am like, oh no, I don't do that. And people are like, flabbergasted, and it's like, oh yeah, no, I don't even follow my own family on there. Like, with them in person, I call them, we send each other pictures, I text, and that is the most healthy decision. And just like kids, you can't be like, but what will everyone else think? Or everyone else is doing that. It's like, and everyone else is stressed, is anxious, is depressed, is happy. Not everyone, I'm speaking obviously in a generality, but that's what it's doing. And so that's why it's so frustrating for me. And I love this tip from you is have a conversation. Let them know that they're being manipulated because they are. It's the same people that make casinos and know
Yes.
how to get you hooked in there. And they don't let their kids use this technology, which I think is pretty interesting. So have that conversation is such a powerful one. And then let them see, hey, you know what? You are being tricked. They are utilizing you and you're the product. That's what it is. And have them realize that so they're not battling you. They're saying, oh yeah, I don't want someone. This is kind of funny, but I'm the same way with like sales. I don't like being sold. I don't like when someone's pressuring me to do something. If I go into a store and I want to buy something, but someone comes in, is like pressuring me to put on a shirt or pants or whatever, I will leave the store. And it's mostly just because I don't like that experience. And so I just stay away from it. And so it's the same thing with this. If you can be like, I don't like being manipulated and shown these things, they're going to make me outraged and upset. Outside in the world, it is overwhelmingly a beautiful place to be in. And if we only believed what was going on through our phone, you would think that we are on the brink of civil war. And that's not the case. As someone who travels all around the country, three or four states a month, people are kind. People want to see other people do well. Yes, there's bad, evil people too, but I believe the overwhelming majority of people are good people. So, Colleen, this was so amazing. I appreciate you sharing your time and your expertise. I want two things from you, if I can. I want to share where people can find out more about you. And if there's anything on your heart or just a positive word that you could leave us on, something, what you said earlier was so powerful about moms feeling lonely. I love that. If you got anything else like that, you can hit us with. Love those two things from you.
So you can go to my website at ColleenO'Grady.com, and that's two L's and two E's. And I have all sorts of great resources, and you can take the mom mode quiz and kind of know what your mode is, and lots of great stuff. And I think it's I think something that's always on my heart. And I also work with moms, who have 17 to 25 year olds, is you don't want to miss this time with your teen. Don't miss it. Like I've had so many great experiences with my own teen, and not like, and I've missed some moments, but I have cherished so many moments with her. And so I always encourage my moms. So this is the other side of it. Like, you dial down the drama so you can get this good stuff. And so, going back to social media for one second, which is, we want to, as moms, we want to be role models. Like, if we're with our teens and we're on our phones, then we're doing the same thing they're doing. We might think, well, this is for work, but it's the same thing. And if you just share as a mom, like, oh my God, I wasted 45 minutes watching stupid reels on Instagram last night. And then you and your team can laugh and say, oh God, me too. And like, okay, so what are we going to do about it? Which is way better than in this conflict. So if you can kind of dial down your media time, then because everybody's busy, I always encourage my moms to 10 to 20 minutes be available to your teens to just hang out. You're not up to anything. You know, if you hate the eyeliner she's wearing, you don't say anything about that. You know, if you think he's never had a shower for 4 weeks, you don't say that. You just hang there. You just hang out and take the lead from them. Just be goofy and enjoy them. Like if we are frowning all the time, we're making adulthood look awful. So we want to show that we're fun, show them that side of you that's fun and playful. And those little 15, 20 minutes every day builds a solid foundation of connection with your team.
Yeah, shared valued time.
Yeah.
You said that was the key to a lot of the stuff is timing.
Yeah.
Timing, and then back to that communication piece. And we know
Yeah.
the big part of communication is listening. And I love that being able to use your mistakes and the things that you are struggling with as a learning opportunity to connect with them because they're watching you and modeling what you're doing.
Yeah.
So good. You're amazing, Colleen. Everyone needs to go and get their mom mode and check out the site. We'll make sure that we tag it and put it up for everyone to see. I appreciate you coming and hanging out with us today.
So much fun.